The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for a children's sermon. Good morning. How are you? Good. I had a question for you. Has there ever been someone that you wanted to meet? Has there ever been someone that you wanted to meet? It could be someone that you've heard about before, maybe a family member or something like that, and you can't wait to meet them. Or it could be someone famous, or it could be just a new friend, a new person that you've never talked with yet. Has there ever been someone you wanted to meet? We'll ask a different question. Have you ever met someone? Yeah? All right, we're going to get close. What was it like meeting a new person? What usually happens then? Yeah. Sometimes you become friends. That's a great meeting. What else happens then? Sometimes you go exploring together. Maybe you try a new thing. I've met lots of people where we're both in a new situation, like the first day of school, right? You can meet new people that way. What's it like when you meet someone for the first time? Do you ask them their name? Yeah. What else might you ask them? Yeah. Your favorite color. Oh, yeah. Today's a good day to say green, isn't it? Yeah. There's all kinds of different ways that we meet people, that we come to understand who people are. And as we do, we understand that there's so much more to that person than what we first see. In today's story, I know Luke is cool, but can you look at my nose? There you go. Oh, no. So in today's story, Jesus is standing there, and people want to see him. They want to meet him. And instead of asking him, they might have been shy, they go and ask some other people who were in the crowd. And eventually Jesus hears about this. But he doesn't answer with his name, and he doesn't answer with his favorite color, and he doesn't answer by going through new experiences or anything like that. He actually says that the time has come for him to be glorified. lots of big and fancy words for, watch what I do. If you want to know who I am, watch what I do. He's about to die on the cross out of love for us and for all people. He's about to be raised again out of love for us and for all people. He's about to go through these many wonderful things that we celebrate on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, and throughout our lives. Watch, and you'll come to know who he is. But then this voice comes from heaven. I don't know if it was deep or not, but a voice comes from heaven and says, I have glorified you, and I'll glorify you again, which is to say, what you're about to do matters a whole lot, and what you've already done matters too. In other words, if you want to know Jesus, listen to his stories. If you want to know Jesus, watch what he does. If you want to know Jesus, watch how he loves, how he cares, how he forgives, how he finds everybody that wants to be found. So if you ever want to meet Jesus, I've got some tips. Listen to his stories, watch where he goes, and follow. Go to the same places that he did. Try the same words and the same actions that he did. See what happens. I bet you'll come to know Jesus. Does that make sense? Should we say a prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, you meet us in new and different ways each day. And as we come to meet you, we both know your name and we also look to know you a little bit more. Help us to listen, to see where you go, and again and again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here. You can go back to your seats. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we celebrate a baptism. And as we do, there's this wonderful part of the liturgy that marks out responsibilities that the family and that the baptized have inside this baptism. These have been named for at least a few hundred years inside of our Lutheran tradition, but no matter how old these responsibilities are, these help point us in the right direction. I want to note that these responsibilities aren't salvific, as if our baptism is required somehow to have these things in order to be effective. No, these responsibilities are more like a roadmap, a way to know how to go to the place that you're saying you want to go, right? Inside these responsibilities, there's a few that I like to highlight. It starts with living among God's faithful people. It starts by saying, I'm going to be a part of a community that holds these Christian patterns, these Christian values at the core of who we are. These values being love and grace, forgiveness and mercy. If we want to talk about fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the core Christian values that a life is based on. To live among God's faithful people is to have people that help guide you in these ways, that help reinforce these things, that help you understand both how these things look in the best parts of life and how to act in these ways in the worst parts of life. To live among God's faithful people takes a community. And the reason we baptize here on a Sunday morning is because we need you as a part of it. We need each other as a part of it. It's hard to live among God's faithful people by yourself. We need one another. And it's a really big part of who we are. We talk inside these responsibilities of teaching the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As we studied, we even came up with a silly way to remember the Ten Commandments, right? I'm not going to quiz you. But whether they're inside of our hearts in a memorized order or they're written on a tablet for everyone to see, or we know them by heart and in our bones. We look for a way to take the ways that God has taught us, to have it buried deep within us, and to use that as a way to look at the world. How the Ten Commandments are written is a way for us to not only live and to treat one another in a good way, but it's a way to love one another, a way to care for one another, a way to keep one another's life in a way that is just and good. We talk about arriving at the holy table and receiving the supper. We talk about being fed again and again by God's body and blood for us and for all people. But we come to the table. We come to the table because we know we're not the only ones around it. We come to the table because on the night in which he was betrayed, yes, Jesus met with his disciples, but the other side of that table was so great and so vast that we all fit around it in heaven and on earth. We come to the table to know, yes, that God loves us, but we also come these ways. We might look more and more like Jesus in these ways as we live and as we grow. These are foundational, life-changing things. We mark these things out in each baptism, not because we want people to think that there's work to do or else. We want people to know that there's grace to be had now and always. That when they come to these places, when they hear these things, there might be a balm for them in their hearts. There might be a balm for their heart, soul, and strength too. There might be something good for them in these places, in these moments, in these patterns, and in these ways. And people of God, just as Bailey will need you and so many other communities her whole life long, I want you to know that and always as well, that there's a place for you and for all people to hear good news and gracious things. There is a place for you and all people to remember every drop of water that hits you is God's reminder of love for you and for all people. There's a place for you to receive the body and the blood and to look at the breadth of the table. There's a place for you. It's both here and also over there. It's everywhere. It's in every congregation. It's in every place that God would meet us. It's in every moment and every time that we are at a table hearing the word, in every moment and every time we are with water washed over us. It's in every moment and every time that we look up and we see once again God's goodness and God's grace in the world. When the disciples approached Jesus and asked to see him, he and the voice from heaven pointed backwards and forwards. You have seen it and you will see it again. And I believe that is the same marker we have in our baptism. Whether you are baptized immediately after birth or you are baptized much, much, much later in your life, there is no point where these blessings were not, are not for you. Not only will Bailey look forward into her life to remember these good things, but also backwards as well. We remember these things before, now, and after, always for us, always with us, always loving us, always gracing us. These gifts are for you too. And so as we sing and as we pray and as we witness water washing over one more of God's beloved, remember your own baptisms. Remember that this water is for you now and always. Remember that there is a living God for you here today, now and always. Remember that there is body broken and given for you now and always. And may this God, now and always, be your blessing, be your love, be your guide, now and always. God be with you. Amen.